going to get started.
Good morning, everybody. The meeting is called to order. Kathy, would you please call the roll?
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Tim Struthers.
Here.
Vice Chair Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Board Chair Wheeler Coleman.
Here. Mr. Brady, would you please confirm that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Mr. Chair, we have reached quorum and appropriate notices have been provided by the university.
Great, thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion is approved. Welcome. I think we should start all our meetings at 8:15. We all are here. That's great. We're in good numbers. I understand that we should have a whole bunch of people here at 9 o'clock. So we're going to go from the executive committee right into the next committee meeting. So we will not take a break in between meetings. We think we have enough material to take us right up to 9 o'clock. And so I want to apologize in advance for any movement or disruption that may occur as people flow into the room. My thought is let's let them in and we'll just try to stay as focused as possible up here as we're presenting. At this point, I also want to say that the executive committee in the past would very seldom meet. And what you're seeing today is a structural change where the executive committee intends to have a meeting every committee meeting quarter. And so with that, we will start the executive committee meetings at 8:15 every quarter. All right. So with that stated, also I wanted to announce, before I go into some of my personal announcements, let me go ahead and mention that this has been a tough week for the university, for our students, as well as for the university family overall. I want to thank all of the administration and the people that came out to support the students and the ceremony that we had yesterday. I know it was pretty emotional. I was talking to Trustee Butler earlier today about yesterday in the event. Trustee Butler reminded me that 10 years ago today, actually, he and several of the trustees had an opportunity, or they were part of a group that actually saw the crime scene at a Cole Hall. And I will tell you, Trustee Butler shared with me how emotional it was then and still is. 10 years later, recalling what happened. And so we know that we've got to continue to move forward as an institution. We've got to look forward. We've got to plan for the future, but we should never ever forget what happened and how it impacted people close and afar. And so it reminded me, Trustee Butler, how we all need to pause and say we went through some tough times, but we believe that there's better times ahead of us, and let's continue to move forward. And I also want to thank Trustee Butler for him, as well as the other trustees that were at the event all week, this past week, for your time and effort in supporting the families and the institution. So thank you. One item that's not on the agenda that I want to speak to before we hear from our University Advisory Committee representatives is that I've reached out to Trustee Butler to take on a new task, and that is the task of looking at our bylaws. And so we know there's some inconsistencies with the bylaws that's that we're operating within. I've asked him to work with our attorney, Mr. Brady, to look for opportunities to clean up our bylaws and get rid of some of the inconsistencies and make some recommendations for change. And so we should anticipate that whether it's at this committee or one of our other committees, that Trustee Butler will come before us with some recommendations to the larger board in terms of some changes that we should consider. And so thank you for taking on that responsibility. At this point in time, I want to welcome any of our University Advisory Committee representatives present today. Linda, Kathy, and Barbara are here today, and do you have any, and Kevin, and do you have any comments?
Good morning, and thank you. I know that the presidential goals are going to be discussed in further detail this morning. As I know, one of those goals ties directly into student engagement, including internships. I wanted to just briefly note that the Office of Career Services stands ready to continue to support these efforts. With well over 350 employers scheduled to be on campus the next 2 weeks for our internship and job fair and for our education and health professions fair, we look forward to the opportunity to welcome students to the Convocation Center to engage in meaningful connections with employers for potential internships and full-time jobs. At one of the most recent Board of Trustees meetings, we had the opportunity to hear from some of our students who spoke eloquently about experiences they have faced on our campus relative to race and ethnicity, and concerns about ensuring that the university understands the impacts of these experiences. I know that the board, the cabinet, and many offices on campus have taken these words to heart and continue our efforts to support our students in all facets of their lives. In January, I was asked to participate in a hip-hop peace circle facilitated by Circles and Ciphers, a group that was brought to campus for events in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. This event was arranged through the support of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and the Campus Resource Centers. To say that this experience had a profound impact on me and others that were there for it is an understatement. I know it's only a small example of a larger effort to work to continue to hear our students' voices, the most important voices we have on our campus. I am thankful I had the opportunity to participate in that, and I thank those offices for arranging it. As we all know, as a community, yesterday we marked the 10th anniversary of the tragic and senseless shooting of 214. I want to take a moment to publicly thank all of the faculty, operating staff, and supportive professional staff who I know spent a tremendous amount of time in planning these events. From contacting first responders to honor them at an event last week, to arranging the materials for the 214 gallery at the Student Center, to making plans for the reflection yesterday afternoon, and so much more, I thank them for their efforts. Through the last 10 years and learning more about the survivors of that horrific day and the family and friends of the victims, I know that so many of them spend much of their time now advocating to ensure these events don't keep happening and reaching out to victims of other shootings to express their condolences and support. I am so very sorry that our Husky family has a new set of people to reach out to in their time of need. Our thoughts are with the people of Parkland, Florida at this terrible time. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate your comments.
Good morning, my name is Barbara Andre, and I'm the president of the Operating Staff Council. At this time, I know that the operating staff are concerned about budget talks in Springfield and the word consolidation being thrown around, and we continue to support this university at every level. We're in so many parts of the university, from building service workers to food service workers and office staff. We hear so many things, and we continue to support NIU and whatever we can do to provide information or feedback is we welcome that opportunity, because many of us were here 10 years ago, including myself, and we've seen NIU go through so many changes. Some are alums, like myself, from many years ago. And NIU's going through some changes. We support the university, we support the students, and we appreciate the opportunity to continue in our shared governance role. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barb.
Kevin?
Okay. We're at a time where we recognize any public comments. We recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Brady, have you received any timely request to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have requests for later committees today, but no requests have been received by the university for the executive committee this morning.
Yeah, no early requests. All right, so at this point in time, we will move to the executive committee report. The first item on the agenda is the Presidential Search Planning Committee membership changes. And we've got two changes to the membership group. Give me a second. And the two changes that we have in front of you, actually it's on the board here. You know, the university recommends approval to these changes to the Presidential Search Planning Committee membership and requests it be forward to the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees for full board approval at a special meeting on February the 15th, 2018. The request is that we add an undergrad student and an instructor, Nathan Hayes and Estisi Sanji? Did I say that right?
Estisi Sanga.
I believe it's Estisi Sanga. As replacements for two individuals that were priorly appointed. I may have a motion for these changes.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussions?
Yeah, let me just maybe fill in a few gaps as to why we're doing this. In the case of our student, Brandon, his class schedule just did not coincide with the needs of the planning committee. And he, because of his class schedule, was not able to attend the meetings that we have planned. So he asked to be replaced, and we granted that with Nathan. Nathan was brought forward by the Student Association as their representative, so we're happy to have him on. And in the case of Stephanie Ure, she had a personal issue with her family that just took her away during the afternoons, and which is when the committee meets. So, you know, again, she just did not have the time to be on the committee. So she has to be replaced as well. And this was the name that came forward. So that's the reason that we're having to replace these two people.
Okay. Are there any other comments? Seeing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Information item 6B is an update on the presidential goals and were presented by Acting President Lisa Freeman. Dr. Freeman.
Great. My mic on? While we're waiting for the technical staff to bring up the PowerPoint, I just want to echo the comments of my colleagues on the board about the wonderful job our faculty and staff did planning the 214 commemoration, and also my support for Parkland and the parents and the community that's experiencing, unfortunately, what we experienced a decade ago. So if we could advance to the next slide. I think everyone here is well aware of NIU's mission. And I just want to remind folks that embedded in that mission is really our value proposition.
And our value proposition occurs at the intersection of teaching and learning and research and scholarship and artistry and engagement and outreach. And the experience that we're able to provide our students by engaging them in those practices and the benefit that we bring to our community through public engagement is really what defines NIU and allows us to prepare students for their lives and their careers. And so if we could have the next slide, please. From that mission, we have the elements of the mission and the value proposition cascading to inform the Board of Trustees' priorities, which were approved earlier this academic year. And the Board of Trustees' priorities then cascade to inform the NIU presidential goals. And the goal set for the president then inform the behavior and the agendas of the divisions across the university. And this is the way that we move, as we say, forward together. Today, I'm going to focus on two presidential goals. I'm going to speak very briefly about the one related to research and innovation, and Vice President Blasey is going to speak much more extensively to that goal in our next committee meeting. And then I'm going to talk about program prioritization. And so as I say that, I apologize to almost everyone in the room except the trustees, because the slide deck that I'll be using was derived from the one that Executive Vice President and Provost McCord used to speak about program prioritization to the Faculty Senate and to the leadership meeting that we have every month. And I think pretty much everyone in the room was at one of those two meetings, so you may see some familiarity in the presentation. Next slide, please. So the board priority number three talks at the highest level about distinguishing NIU among Illinois public universities by advancing excellence in all aspects of the university mission, and in particular, increasing understanding across internal and external stakeholder communities about our strengths and our value proposition. And a lot of this is done outside of the presidential goals, just as part of being president. I have the opportunity to speak to our internal shared governance groups. I have the opportunity to speak to our alumni in a variety of formal and informal settings. And I have the opportunity to testify in Springfield. And earlier this week, or late last week, we spoke to the higher ed working group in Springfield and made the same point I made on the first slide about NIU's value proposition and how we contribute to the state's economy through the students that we prepare and through our work in the communities at the intersection of the elements of our mission. What Dr. Blasey is going to be speaking about in the next committee meeting related to Board Priority 3 is specifically about Presidential Goal 5, which has elements of increasing capacity for research, innovation, and regional engagement. Dr. Blasey will be speaking about the research cluster strategy and our sub-goal of initiating at least one cluster in fiscal year 19 and fiscal year 20. I will be speaking briefly in this presentation about the second sub-goal of two new doctoral programs moving through the NIU curricular process in this academic year. Next slide, please. But what I'm really going to be focusing on is Board Priority 3B, which is about leveraging program prioritization to align the university's resources and budget and to direct future investments in ways that support our values and our aspirations. And I'm going to be speaking most specifically about Presidential Goal 3, specifically the goals that have outcomes expected in 2018. And those goals are on the right-hand side of the slide. Expectations for implementing 80% of the recommendations regarding administrative programs, 75% of the recommendations related to transformation or elimination of academic programs, and 25% of the expectations for new academic programs. And I want to point out here, when we're talking about the recommendations in the presidential goals, we're talking about recommendations that were issued in the president's report, not the recommendations that were the raw material issued by the task forces, although in the majority of cases, they're one and the same. Next slide, please. This is the program prioritization timeline, and I put it up to remind the audience of two things. First, that this was a fairly inclusive process that we built over time by educating ourselves, by seeking feedback from the campus, and then moving forward. We started with the planning actually late in 2014. We really started the process narrative development in the fall of 2015, and at this point in time, we are about a year into the implementation phase. I also want to point out that as we look at this, we can see that the task forces issued their recommendations in the spring of 2016, but we didn't, as a university, just say we accept those all. We had additional opportunities for response from the public, from members of our community. The division leaders worked with their staff and faculty to create actions plans, and those action plans were then subject to a presidential decision and presidential recommendations. So as I go through my presentation today, I'll try to point out specifically on each slide whether the data that are referenced come from task force recommendations, action plans, or the ultimate presidential recommendations. Next slide, please. Just as a quick reminder, we did not do program prioritization as a budget reduction exercise. We did it to align our budget and mission so that we could better serve our communities, to increase the overall quality and efficiency of our programs, and to advance a culture of data-informed decision-making, assessment, and continuous improvement. And when we say data-informed, we deliberately choose not to say data-driven. We understand that there are qualitative elements to our decision-making process, and when we say data, we include both quantitative data metrics as well as qualitative data in what is considered. We also engaged in program prioritization to meet the expectations of our accreditor, the Higher Learning Commission, this Board of Trustees, and the Illinois Board of Higher Education, all of whom suggested that we needed, along with other Illinois public universities, more alignment of mission and budget and more attention to and more focus on the quality and the efficiency of our programs over time. Next slide, please. The assessment that was done of program prioritization to date is described here, and these are what I'll be talking about today. At least the data that I'll be showing today came from these assessment elements, the accounting of the direct costs of executing program prioritization, and the data that was garnered by focus groups with the process participants and anonymous surveys of program narrative authors and unit leaders and division leaders. Next slide, please. So the direct costs of program prioritization execution to the university are detailed on this slide. Engaging in program prioritization resulted in the university expending $287,000. And if you look at the summary, I'm not going to go through it in detail, but most of that was invested in our employees, in training them, in compensating the members of the two task force for their efforts, in training materials, support, in bringing people who had engaged in this process on other campuses to inform our campus. Next slide, please. When we start to look at what the impacts were that resulted from that investment and from our engagement in the process, when we think about resources and how they align with mission, resources are not just dollars, although funding is certainly a large part of it. It's also personnel, time, effort, and behavior. And so as I go through the impacts of program prioritization, I'll be speaking about financial impacts, structural impacts, curricular impacts, and cultural impacts. Next slide, please. So when we look at the financial impact of program prioritization, and we look at whether programs received enhanced resources, whether we chose to reallocate resources internally to create more quality or operational efficiency and effectiveness, whether we chose to reduce resources because this was a reallocation exercise. When we spoke to our division leaders and we asked them to provide this information, they came back and said, we can trace things to program prioritization in a number of ways. There are some things that were just a direct result of program prioritization, the task force recommendations, the action plans, and the presidential recommendations. There are other things that were strongly influenced by program prioritization. Even as we wrote the narratives, we started to see opportunities that we moved forward with. And there are other things that align with program prioritization. They are minimally influenced by program prioritization because in our estimation, they're things we might have done anyway. And then there are things that just we do that have nothing to do with program prioritization. So the first three categories are summarized on this slide. And you can see that the total financial impact on the institution was on the order of $16.1 million, with $8 million being in reductions. So when you think about that in the context of the university's budget, our total budget will estimate around $400,000, but our operating budget is about $200,000. We have about 8% impact in terms of what we did to move resources within the institution.
Just want to make sure it's $400 million
and $200. We're not, so sorry, yes.
Budgets aren't quite that tight yet.
Budgets are bad, but not that bad. Thank you. So $400 million and $200 million, absolutely. But $16 million, 8%. Next slide, please. One of the things that we all feel badly about is the intersection of program prioritization and the 700-day budget impasse, and the fact that that prevented us from really enhancing resources to the extent that we would have liked to. And I do want to point out that despite the fact that we couldn't do the things that were recommended to the full extent, and we couldn't do everything that we wanted to do, we did have 26% of the academic programs and 32% of the administrative programs who were recommended for enhancement receive some additional resources. And just to provide an example of that, we tried to do that in ways that would allow the university to increase the quality of the programs and also to increase not only our efficiency, but also to invest in things that would generate further revenue through enrollment or other mechanisms. An example of an academic program that was enhanced. We had degree programs in a number of colleges that were enhanced. The honors program was enhanced. That is actually considered an administrative program, but in the academic unit. And then marketing budget, the advertising budget for enrollment management, marketing, and communication was also increased. Next slide, please. The structural impact of program prioritization on the university was significant. We looked at how we were organized, and we thought that our organization reflected a landscape that no longer existed. We were organized in ways that made sense when the state provided 40 to 50% or more of our operating budget, but not today. And so, the other thing we recognized about our structure and the opportunity to reorganize or restructure in certain ways is that we could really decrease transactional costs and try to make our processes more nimble if we thought about how we were aligned internally. So as a result of program prioritization, the Division of Enrollment Management, Marketing, and Communications was created with enrollment management transferred from student affairs to be aligned with marketing and communications. This is a structure that's generally more common, at least in the past, at private universities than public universities, but one that you're seeing more and more at all universities. We combined within that division the offices responsible for student financial aid and scholarships because that would allow us to serve students better, to help target the money more easily to where it's needed. And then there were realignments within marketing and communications to help people get the word out about our university and its value proposition, to help them be more effective in that mission and to use resources more effectively to accomplish that. When I was testifying along with the provost and our vice president for enrollment management, marketing, and communications earlier this week to the higher ed working group, I said to them, they said, what do you think is a big obstacle to increasing enrollment, to enhancing recruitment? And I said, part of it is just getting the word out. We were content for a long time to be a best kept secret, and that's just not acceptable. But that's a much better problem to have than having a problem with the quality of your programs. Our programs are excellent. We just need to get that word out. And so this is an effort structurally to help us accomplish that. The Office of Institutional Effectiveness was formed by the merger of accreditation assessment and data on offices that were responsible for decision support and research functions. And academic affairs received responsibility for on and off campus programs and community college partnerships so that we could actually move things more effectively towards creating seamless pathways for students who may not start on our campus or may be working adults. Next slide, please. We also had reorganizations or restructuring within the units that are shown on this slide. And I'll say a little bit about them individually, but I want to talk about the biggest impact of these individual reorganizations, and that is we now have in one reporting line meeting regularly the leaders on our campus who are responsible, who are curators for the student experience. The academic aspects of the student experience, the student life aspects of the student's experience, the support of multicultural students and students who come from diverse backgrounds. And that has been very helpful to the university in terms of addressing the needs of our students and helping them both academically, socially, and professionally. Student affairs, we were able to eliminate a vice presidential position by moving the reporting line under the office of the executive vice president and provost. Career services, which Kathy Doderlein spoke about so eloquently, was transferred to undergraduate studies. Again, this is more current thinking. In the old days, internships were something you did after you'd completed most of your coursework on your way into the workforce. Today, we understand that it's very important to think about how what you're learning in the classroom translates into the real world, to see the value of the critical thinking skills you're learning, as well as to explore the opportunities that are available to you upon graduation. And so having a tighter linkage of career services and undergraduate studies is something that benefits our students tremendously, informs our NIU Plus undergraduate curriculum, and makes us a better university. And then the chief diversity officer was able to assume responsibility for the NIU cultural centers in the Office of Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And what we're seeing there is a more efficient and effective use of the resources that we devote to diversity and inclusion programming on this campus, but also just a better opportunity to encourage thinking about the intersections and how we can work better at the intersections of our communities. Next slide, please. So when we talk about curricular impact, what we're seeing here is actually the task force recommendations. And the academic task force recommended that there were 45 academic programs to be transformed, 41 academic programs who were candidates for elimination, and 4 new programs that should be moved forward. To date, 10 programs have been transformed and 28 are in the process of transformation. 9 programs have been eliminated, 16 are in the process of being eliminated, and 13 came out of the action planning process and the president's recommendation more as candidates for transformation rather than elimination. Of the 4 programs the task force recommended to move forward as new programs for approval, 1 has been implemented and 3 are in progress. Next slide, please. This slide lists the programs that have been eliminated, and I don't want to go through them in detail, but I do want to share a story, again, from our testimony to the Higher Ed Working Group. Provost McCord presented this list to the working group in a handout, and he spoke about the efforts we were making on campus to be good stewards of the public funds. And Senator McGuire, who was the chair of the committee, said, I very much appreciate getting the list of programs, hearing that you're not afraid to stop doing things as you start doing new things. But I want to ask a question about the Institute for Nanoscience, Engineering, and Technology, because that sounds like something kind of current and, you know, an area that's worthy of investment. And so I want to hear the university's rationale for eliminating that program. And the provost did an excellent job of saying, we thought that that would be a great area for us to be in, given our proximity to Argonne National Lab and the expertise of some of our faculty, and that's why we invested in it. But as we assessed our progress in that area and compared our contributions to those of the larger universities in Illinois, the University of Chicago and Northwestern, we realized that our impact in that area was not really just not worthy of the resources that were being invested, the efforts we put in that area, and we thought we could create a better niche and better value for our students, for our faculty, for the state of Illinois by moving out of that area and into others. And that was an answer that was just met with so much positivity from the working group. And I think it captures the spirit of program prioritization and having a culture that's data-informed and committed to ongoing assessment and continuous improvement. Next slide, please. When we talk about the new programs, the top portion of this slide lists the four new programs that were recommended to move forward by the academic task force. The Doctor of Nursing Practice is in place, and in fact, it was moving forward as the program prioritization process progressed. We have a Bachelor's in Statistics and Health Information Management that are moving forward in either the planning or the pre-proposal stage. And then the PhD in data science, which was recommended, is moving forward in the planning stage. And it is in bold because it is one of the two PhD programs that we will suggest as part of fulfilling the goal of two new PhD programs under the presidential goals. Two additional programs that were proposed and looked at by the academic task force as candidates not to move forward because of resource investment came out of the action planning process and the presidential recommendations with encouragement to move forward. These are the PhD in computer science, another one of the programs that will be relevant to the presidential goals and satisfying them, and a bachelor's in sports management, and I call your attention to the fact that those will actually be considered today by our Committee on Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel because the Board of Trustees has to approve not only program deletions but also program additions. Next slide, please. When we talk about the cultural impacts of program prioritization, we speak about being data-informed and committed to continuous improvement, and part of that is being willing to look at our processes and say, we're not going to do things the way we've always done them. We're going to think about doing things a different way, a more efficient way, a more effective way. And we did have a number of formal process reengineering efforts, and this slide details ones that I think have been successfully completed and positive for the university. Within enrollment management, marketing, and communications, a lot of the creative services and marketing efforts underwent process reengineering, and this has allowed us to start improving our web pages, our external presence, much more quickly than we would have been otherwise. Again, institutional aid, the new office formed by scholarships and financial aid, has also undergone process reengineering to see how they could work together more effectively. We had a process reengineering effort that we called Advancing Culturally Competent Admissions Process. This was a joint effort involving admissions, chance, financial aid, and orientation. And this effort was a way to look at some of the technology and practices that had been used by our admissions office, but not some of the special programs such as chance, to say, let's make sure we take advantage of technology to help us communicate with all of the students we're trying to recruit, and also looking at the holistic processes and the cultural competency that resided in Chance and say, why don't we have this competency when we talk to all of our students, just not just our students in the special admissions program Chance. And that's been an extremely successful effort. We're really incorporating technology more effectively, looking at our communications processes and merging our orientations so that we really have more of an equity mindset at NIU. And then chargebacks are something that, you know, chargebacks for wireless and Ethernet made sense in a time when only a few scientists like Vice President Blasey needed the internet. Nowadays, the internet is like having a piece of paper, and charging absolutely everybody for using it makes absolutely no sense. So next slide, please. And then, you know, I think that it's incredible to say at this point that we've already exceeded our goals. That has cultural impact beyond just satisfaction of the presidential goals, whereby you can see that we've actually achieved 76% of the academic program recommendations and 92% of the administrative program ones. But it has impact on our campus to say we weren't afraid to take a hard look. We weren't afraid to use the data that we had available. We weren't afraid to say we have to stop doing things and we may need to start doing things differently or smarter, and we actually did it. We didn't have a planning document that sat on the shelf and eventually became a doorstop. We actually linked our strategic priorities to our budget. And we have more to do in this area. But I can remember from the time we started program prioritization, getting the eye roll of, this is going to wind up just like other efforts of the university. We're going to spend a lot of time, and we will not be able to point to a single accomplishment. We can point to a lot of accomplishments. And I think that that's a source of Husky pride. And it has really given our campus the ability to look at the fiscal challenges in Illinois, which continue to be significant, and say we're going to try to work through this together in a way that puts our students at the top of the list and allows us to continue to be a great university. Next slide. Additional cultural impacts are the influences that we've seen on our organizational behavior. When we surveyed the academic program leaders, 60% of them said program prioritization really helped them think about remodeling the curricula, that our faculty are now playing a greater role in student recruitment and retention, increasingly engaged with alumni, and again, using data in a different way to inform decision making. Next slide, please. The behavior of the leaders of our administrative programs was also influenced in a similar way. Collaboration across units has increased. Data-informed decision-making has increased. Resource sharing has increased. And there's more thinking about paying attention to how we train folks and how we automate processes to make our lives easier. We still have a long way to go, but we're on that journey in a different way than we were before. Next slide, please. The criteria that our campus developed through a very inclusive process now are used in a rubric that's become standard to inform budget decisions, hiring decisions, and program review. And again, this shows that the program prioritization process has had an effect, a lasting effect, on the way we do business, exhibited in a commitment to continuous improvement. Next slide, please. Highlights. Program prioritization, although not a budget-cutting exercise, did help us craft a response to the 700 days we went without an appropriation. It's influenced allocation of $25 million within the institution, not just the $16.1 million that I showed on the earlier slide, but also our faculty investments in faculty hiring and associated startup costs. We have increased data use in decision-making on this campus, and we've inspired confidence by showing that we're committed to our mission and also committed to accountability and to continuous improvement. Next slide. At this point, I'd be happy to take questions from the Board of Trustees, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak about my goals.
So are there any questions from the trustees? So there was a great, fabulous job, Dr. Freeman. I would like to say that I know there's areas that of your readout that impacts different committees, and I know there's probably a lot of questions on the table. I would encourage each trustee to reach out to Dr. Freeman for specific questions related to her readout today. I'm excited about program prioritization and actually you providing us ongoing feedback about your goals specifically. This is new, right? And it's exciting to see that and have you provide a formal way of providing us with information. Are there any other matters that we need to cover today in the executive committee? Seeing none, I'd like to say that our next meeting of the executive committee will be held on May 10th at 8:15. May I have a motion to, before I take a motion to adjourn, let me once again talk about what we plan to do. We're going to adjourn this meeting and roll right into our real committee meeting. And so there really should be only two people moving, myself and the chair of the Trustee Butler. We're going to swap seats. And we're going to go straight into our next committee. So may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So
moved. I have a second? Any discussions? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.